Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our series, The Sunday Afternoon Murder Club, a chance to look at cases old and new. I'm very pleased to welcome back our chief mediator, my wife Jan. She was sick last week, but she's with us today.
Thank you, Simon. Hello, everyone.
From the wilds of Southern California, we're joined by veteran trial lawyer Manny Barling. Manny, welcome.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back, Jan. I'm sorry we all made you ill.
It wasn't y'all, it was Simon.
Yeah,
well, I tried to help Simon.
Yeah, the medical test results came in, and it conclusively proved that I was the cause. From upper New York State, we have crime aficionado Denny Griffin with us. Hello, Denny.
Good afternoon, Simon, Jan, and panel. Glad to be with you again, and glad you're feeling better, Jan.
Thank you.
And I assume that the mob is after you concerning your last program.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was actually quite a good program. We got it was kind of nice having a both sides of the coin, a retired FBI agent and a retired mobster. So it was fun.
Good. From Orlando, Florida, we have journalist Dave Neckel with us. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope all is well with everybody.
Oh, indeed. And last, but by no means least, our good friend, bail bondsman, and chief troublemaker, William Cobra Storbs.
Sound like you were stuttering for words to say. At least you didn't forget me this week. And I do have to add just one little comment. Denny sounds too damn excited. There must be somebody in the trunk of his Geo.
Is there anybody we know?
I wish.
Manny, my wife is telling me that I failed to introduce you.
But you did. I get so confused on all this.
Well, I've been introduced before, but you can introduce me again. I could
just
use some publicity.
I don't want him to forget anybody, that's all.
I'm pretty certain I said from the wilds of Southern California, we are joined by veteran trial attorney Manny Barling.
Okay, it's my fault.
It's all right, Simon. You can say it again. It's fine.
As always, our chat room is open, and we do invite our listeners to ask their questions of the panel in there. But please be kind to each other. This week, we want to focus on the death penalty, but before we hit that deadly topic, I want to briefly talk about some of the cases that we've been following. Denny, I'm going to pick on you first. Last Sunday, we chatted briefly about the Patrick Rust case. I am wondering if any of the potential leads mentioned have been fruitful.
Yes, I had Bill Sullivan and I interviewed a renewed interview with a witness we hadn't spoken with before, and got some great information and great insight into, shall I say, a person of interest. And I can't really say much more than that at this time, but it was a very productive meeting, and more information is being developed as we speak. So I'm very excited about it.
So you see a way forward?
Absolutely. It's probably the one disappointing thing about the interview was it raises or raised more issues about how this investigation was handled by a couple of the agencies involved in it. So, you know, but we've seen evidence of that in the past, that maybe things weren't done exactly as they should have been. And we've got more information that in fact is the case, which is unfortunate, but at least we're finding out the information now. So hopefully, we can get this thing moving forward in the right direction.
Manny, I want to move to you. You followed the Lawrence King trial, and we've mentioned this case a few times on the program. I know that it's a huge oversimplification, but it seems to boil down to white supremacists versus a gay boy. A hung jury resulted. Is there any word about what is going to happen next?
Well, there's been no public statement made, but the general position that, as we understand, is they're just going to retry him again. And right now they're focusing on what they need to do to win the trial, reviewing transcripts and just doing what lawyers do when they get a second bite of the apple. And one of the reasons they're going to do it again, besides their obvious belief that he really should be prosecuted, is prosecutors actually have an advantage the second time around, so it's hard for them to give that up. You know, generally speaking, you get to look at the evidence that the people say, people who you didn't expect to testify, and start deciding who's telling the truth, who isn't, who they should avoid, who can do this. And, you know, sometimes for lawyers, you rarely get the second bite of the apple. I've only retried a case once, and it was a case reversed by the Court of Appeals because of an error on one of the attorneys in the case. And I just found it so much easier the second time around. I had trouble preparing because I could almost mouth the words. And so if they use the same prosecutor, this is too easy for him to do to turn down. So unless there's some reason they don't feel they can win, and it doesn't appear to be any, I think there's no question they're going to do this.
Okay, but I guess my main question is, how long can they keep the young man in a state of stasis? You know, can they sit on this almost indefinitely?
Well, no, there's always has to be some reasonable time. The court will set a hearing, and it probably has, and we're just not immediately aware of it, where they would review that and compel the prosecution to make some kind of decision. So there will be a decision made in here. So the only question is exactly when, and then again, there is some question as to who is making that decision. So those are all things that you go through in these kind of cases very commonly. And in a big city like Los Angeles and Ventura County, those don't get made quite as quickly as they would in a smaller state or a smaller area where they have a less of a calendar. And also, the problem is getting things on calendar. I saw a case, a federal case, that got put off. Well, give an example, Tom Clemens, the perjury trial over steroids. As you know, that was a mistrial. Well, it took four months, it seemed like, for them to rehear the matter in a motion to dismiss, and then the judge set the matter over until February or March because his calendar is such he can't do it before then. So many other factors seem to come into play, and they're made worse by the fact that most jurisdictions are suffering cash flow problems because, guess what, it's easier to cut money from the courts because they can't really defend themselves very well. So when you stir all these into the pot, not only is this slowing down, but I would say that practically every criminal case that gets off calendar for you in 5 minutes gets dropped to the foot of the barrel. And that's what's happening in this case.
Jan, you found a story this week. No one died, but the sentence of life was imposed. Would you care to share this strange tale with us?
Well, I found it kind of strange. I mean, the thing that she was guilty of, I don't approve of, but I hardly think that the sentence that she got was the right one anyway. A woman from Carson City, Nevada, 32 years old, was brought to court and accused of getting a 13-year-old boy to touch her breasts. And even though there was absolutely no sex between the two of them, there was no clothing was removed, nothing at all was done between the two of them. They found this woman guilty of lewdness with a minor and sentenced her to life in prison. And, of course, they keep saying that she would have the benefit of parole possibility in 10 years, but I still find for the little amount that was done, they're going to sentence her to life in prison when there are so many sex, what do you call them, perverts, so to speak, out on the
predators.
Street now that the courts are setting free, that they're letting them out, and I think it's really kind of ridiculous.
Cobra, what do you think about this? I mean, do you think that the woman should be locked up for 10 years?
You don't want to know what I think. Oh, my God.
Let me help you, Cobra.
I know. Jesus Christ.
Hey,
Give
Cobra,
life.
Let me help you. Does anybody know her phone number or address other than jail?
No, worse than that, I'm just thinking, you know, who the hell was the sounded like a prosecutor I know to know somebody I know. My God. I mean, that seems a little bit far-fetched out there.
Yeah, me too. I really, like I said, I mean, there's too many people out there walking the street that should be behind bars, and they claim that they don't want to put them in there because prisons are overloaded, you know, overcrowded and all that. But yes, they're going to give this.
Wasn't a female prosecutor? What a female prosecutor was it? And then
Deputy D.A. Ted Thompson was the one from Elko County in Nevada.
Yeah.
So
personal.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Now her attorney's arguing with him that the crime just doesn't, I mean, the sentence just doesn't fit the crime, which I agree with him. I mean, she wasn't
We could
right.
give her some therapy and like Manny was saying, we could get her phone number, address, give her some therapy. She'd be all right.
Yeah, give her some therapy and my phone number, please.
She'd be all right.
Manny, wind the clock back to the time where you were 13 years old.
I wouldn't have told anybody.
Simon, you and I share similar roots. My parents owned several restaurants, and as you know, there are always cocktail waitresses of dubious morality. So when they start prosecuting cocktail waitresses for that kind of stuff, I guess it'll make sense. But I think you'll agree it's very, very common in the restaurant business. I mean, to me, in those days, an older woman was a 19 to 22 year old working as a waitress and just out of high school. So there wasn't that much of a difference in our age. And a lot of that goes on in the restaurant, right, Simon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the
Ooh,
common Lord. Saying is, I'd have given my right arm to
yes,
do
sir.
That.
Yes,
but,
sir.
You know,
I thought it was your left
either.
Arm. That wasn't
true. Wouldn't have told nobody either.
Well, I'm sorry, but I had to ask Simon, when I read about this, I had to turn around and ask him, when he was 13 years old, if a woman came up to him and asked him to touch her breast, would he have done it? And,
he
of course, I wasn't
it.
Shocked. He says, Of course, I'd have jumped at it.
Well, how do you think young men learn these things?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know she wasn't right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying,
yeah.
I mean, no woman should do that, to, especially to a 13-year-old boy. But at the same time, there was, I mean, there was apparently, all the details aren't exactly public, but apparently there was nothing else done between the two of them. You know, she didn't. She did tell the little boy, they said that she did tell him that she wanted to have sex with him, but they never did. They never did anything at all. There was nothing at all left in between them, unless there's something that they're not telling the public. I mean, it just seems way out of whack to me.
I mean, Manny, this is your basic adult tease.
Well, I don't know about adult tease. I mean, the fact is none of this stuff was illegal centuries ago, and I don't agree with Jan. I mean, since when do teenage boys need to be protected from older women? Speaking on behalf of all the teenage boys I know. And, you know, and I'm making light of it because you have to make light of this because it's absurd. I mean, you know, what if she was a high school girl who said it to him? I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, you know, this is just part of growing up, and you can't make everything that kids do growing up a sex crime. And that's
right.
What it amounts to. I mean, everyone sees Summer of 42. Everybody thought that was lyrical beautiful and all these other things. But how do you separate her conduct in Summer of 42 from what we're talking about here today, right?
That's right.
I thought Summer of 42 was funny. I mean, I did get a lot of laughs out of it. But the only thing that I'm saying, though, is, okay, if it was a man doing the same thing to a little girl, it'd be totally different.
People would look at it differently. Yeah.
But you shouldn't. I mean,
that's
my point.
That's a lot different, Jan. That's a lot different, Jan.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point, that people would say, you know, well, if it's just a little boy, it's different. You know, but still and all, I don't think she should have gotten the sentence that she got. I don't think she should have got anything at all, as maybe probation or maybe have her go to some kind of classes or something. But not, I don't
so
think.
Many
she
so many therapy.
Yeah, many therapy after that. You can tell my wife's
actually,
not on this show, is she?
Actually, I think the judge should have given her $1,000. And told to buy some really cute clothing.
Oh,
Simon,
wow.
Again, you're absolutely right.
Well,
the boy wasn't much older than sibling age anyway. I mean, he ain't been long weaned off of them things. I can't even see. He's probably thinking, oh, my God, what'd you turn her in for? Mom, hell, that was the best experience I'm ever going to have in my life.
Jan, you better start checking the back of the closet and behind the drawers.
Oh, okay. Enough of 13-year-olds having fun with boobs.
Boobies.
Dave, in the case that you've been following, someone did indeed die. What's new in the world of Casey Anthony? I understand that some crap came down this week.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, you had me fantasizing about Jennifer, what was her name, the one who starred in Summer 42. I was, like, all over that one. But the thing is, I mean, it's like, didn't the guy in that, like, feel up her elbow and he thought he was getting something?
Yeah, in the show, in the movie theater,
yeah.
Jan, you remember this movie too well. We're getting suspicious.
When it was the good old days.
Anyway, getting back to that, I think it was one of those things where Elizabeth Fryer filed some kind of a notice that it wasn't fair, this $97,000+ that she was going to have to pay. You know, you can't force her to pay it. And the judge turned around and said, oh, yeah? Watch this. Meantime, he had asked for Orange County Sheriff's Office to send in an itemized bill. And then he tacked that on. So it went from $97,000 basically to $217,000. So
wow.
It jumped up almost $120,000. Boom, just like that.
Well,
and,
that's above Dave, isn't that above her credit card limit?
I think it is. But she's going to get some kind of a credit card when she finishes her probation and moves to Mexico with her multimillionaire boyfriend.
Oh,
that's
good.
That's the rumor from the National Enquirer.
Yeah,
and
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that the National Enquirer reported that, and then later on, I guess her people admitted that she was taking a foreign language
mm-hmm.
course
because
she knew she couldn't stay. She'd never be able to stay in America, so, which is probably true.
Yeah, they said that this guy that's supposed to own the property that she's supposed to go to in Mexico or wherever, that he was giving her $200,000 to begin her life, to start a new life. I mean, hey, if she's going to get that kind of money, she better get it before she leaves the United States, because then she could give that to the courts.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any record of that, you know, any more than me sending you a check for $1,000,
no,
you know.
I'm just saying that if that's the case, if she can get her hands on it that way, she can pay the courts as well.
Do you really think anybody would give that D-bag that kind of money, for God's sake?
Somebody's taking care of her, man.
Brother.
Somebody's putting that money
Manny.
On her.
Come on, Manny.
They've got 24/7 guards on her. They're putting her up. They're paying for the shrink, the counselor, who the grief counselor, whoever it is, somebody's putting out money on her.
Yeah, and it'll turn up pretty quick who it is. I mean, you can only keep that stuff secret for so long.
Yeah.
Right.
Manny, so the answer is you're not funding her.
No, I'm still working on that one who likes the little boys. She sounds like a better investment.
Can you demonstrate exactly what happened using my hand?
I just don't understand like Jan, you know what you're saying. How getting back to that teacher and all it, it is kind of like a double standard, isn't it? That the female teacher can touch the boy or whatever, but if a man did the same thing to the same age girl, it would be all hell would break loose.
Right.
Well, if anyone recalled the story about the teacher in Seattle, a young teacher whose father, I believe, was a state senator or a U.S. senator who was who had sex with and then had a child by one of her students and was prosecuted and put in jail, and she and the student fell in love, and ultimately when the student came of age, she married the student.
She wasn't a bad-looking woman either.
No, she was a very good-looking one. She apparently really liked her student a lot. But the fact that none of this stuff was illegal in our country until probably sometime in the 1930s. So this was quite common conduct among people, men and women, at a variety of different times in our history. I mean, Cleopatra was essentially 13 years old when she ascended to the throne and started sleeping with Mark Anthony. So,
well, didn't George the singer, what was his name, marry his 12-year-old cousin or whatever?
You're talking about... what's his name? Saying great balls of
Jerry
fire.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry G. Lewis. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and you look what that did for his career. Not much.
No.
No, it didn't.
But yeah, I mean, this is a common thing in society, and you can only do too much to stop it. I'm not advocating, and I'm just saying that a lot of things didn't become crimes until the mid-30s, when the so-called blue noses in this country started taking over. Even things like marijuana weren't even illegal in our society until that time. So this is all a recent brush with an episode of morality in our country that's already led to a huge amount of problems that show up in our, even in our elections and in our general disagreements of how our country can be run. So at the end of the day, this is a problem where people, and I'm saying this because the bottom line to all this is people in our country disagree how to resolve these moral issues. And because of it, there's a wide disparity between the sentencing that goes on, which oftentimes is just not explainable. And this is a classic case of it. You just can't get up and explain why some jurisdictions rule one way and some rule others. And in the case of Reno, I would have thought Reno would have been an unusually liberal place, and I'm quite surprised to see such a conservative, what I would consider almost borderline religious type of sentencing compared to other places like West Hollywood, and where that would be considered a minor act.
Well, no, actually, they probably pin some badges.
Hey, listen, West Hollywood just banned furs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, why they would spend all their time and money to do that is totally beyond me, but they've raised somewhat of a ruckus because now if a woman goes to dinner in a restaurant in West Hollywood, can she be cited for wearing a fur coat? Think about it. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
well,
that's interesting.
In this case with this woman now, they were trying to get her to work for a plea deal, and she didn't want to admit to anything that would make her have to register as a sex offender, so she took her chances going to court and lost. But then her attorney took it to the Supreme Court, and he argued that the sentence didn't fit the crime, like I said. And the courts questioned him and said if it were an adult man and a teenager, would they still be standing there arguing the same point? And then they said also, if they did rule for her in her case, would they be flooded with requests from other cases, such as robbery and grand larceny, who didn't steal as much as another convict did? It's going to be like, in other words, I guess they were saying like everybody is saying right now, well, Casey Anthony's case was different. Why is mine not going the same as hers is? You know, I mean, it opens the door for things like that, too. But I still think that it was too harsh. I mean, I think it's wrong.
Jan, I agree with you, but I'd like to point out to everybody that everybody says that in their appeals anyway. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true too, but I still think it was her sentence was too harsh.
Oh, we all agree, I think. Does anybody disagree that this sentence is too harsh?
I'm just trying to keep abreast of the conversation.
Good one, Dave.
I'm pretty certain that if she gets out on parole, I could get her a speaking gig at the local high school.
Well, you know, I think people should be touchy-feely. I mean, you know, this is we want people to be more open in our society. I think she was being more open. But at the same time, I agree with Jan. I mean, the fact that we can make this kind of joke about it in its own way illustrates how society as a whole feels about some of these issues, and that we don't feel like they're strong issues. So why does the state feel it's so important to punish this individual woman over something that most people are laughing about? That I find very hard to understand.
Mm-hmm. But they were laughing in there,
and
too.
I think that's the perfect segue into our main topic, the death penalty. Georgia was in the spotlight this week after what I believe was a 22-year legal wrangling situation. A gentleman by the name of Troy Davis lost his life. No one seemed to be particularly pro this movement. That includes the Pope, ex-President Jimmy Carter, and Amnesty International. Is the death penalty the right way to go? Manny, there's a huge disparity between states.
Well, it's not a huge disparity between states. It's a huge disparity between each of us, because no two people harbor the same views of the death penalty. As I said last week, I go hot and cold with it. Some days I support it, some days I don't. This is one I don't support, from the not because I believe he's innocent or whatever, but when I look at the facts, I just find it very disturbing that this has gone on for 22 years. I mean, for goodness sakes, if he's guilty, hang him. Get rid of him. But to dawdle around for this period of time causes problems. And one of the problems that you saw is that a number of people started recanting their testimony. Well, why did they recant their testimony? Because if you let this sit long enough, people start to feel guilty. Like, I voted for this guy to die. Now I'm not sure he should die. So there becomes a guilt factor, which is one of the reasons why a great many of the people who were moving against him, including the prosecutors, didn't believe what they were saying, is because they felt they were just acting out of remorse that they wish they hadn't participated. Because look at a juror that convicts somebody. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very painful. And then guess what? They find that they've got to hear about it for the rest of their life, because for 21 years this case has been going up and down like a yo-yo, and these poor people who voted the death penalty have to keep hearing about it. I think that's very tough on them, don't you?
I do indeed. Denny, you're an expert on cold cases. You must have some thoughts on this particular one, particularly how long a person should sit on death row before the final sanction happens.
Well, that's my complaint, if you will, with the death penalty in general, is the length of time. I think Manny just said, hey, if they're guilty, do it. You know, pull the trigger, whatever, inject them, whatever you're going to do. But do it. I'm not saying deprive them of their rights and blah, blah, blah. But when you've got the guilty person, you either got to streamline the appeal process or limit the appeal or something. But these people who are on death row for 15 and 20 and 22 and 25 years, and I remember the mother of the victim of Mr. Davis said, I'm getting older now. I really would like to have some closure for the final years of my life. And I just think it's ridiculous to have these people on death row incurring the expense of the extra expenses for death row, including the appeals and all that, for these time frames. If you can't somehow execute the sentence, carry out the sentence in a timely, reasonable manner, then maybe there shouldn't be a death penalty. If you're going to have it, do it. If you're not going to do it, then don't have it.
Okay. Cobra, I'm sure you have some delightful comments for us.
I kind of agree exactly along the same lines that my partner Denny said there. I mean, it's just like when the mobster business. If the guy deserves to die, you take him out, you put him on his knees, you shoot him twice in the back of the head, he's dead. Whether he gets buried or not, that's up to somebody else. I think that some of these cases that they have, just simple killing them is too damn easy. You know, they tortured families and different things. I think we ought to have some kind of torture shit going on. But I think if you're going to kill somebody, kill them. Don't sit around and talk about it and bellyache about it until the thing wears off, and then you go, oh, well, and then you start thinking mercy on him when he had no mercy on whoever he did to deserve this. Now, if he's just feeling boobies and you're going to kill him, I got a problem with that. But other than that,
well,
I mean, come on.
I do know one case that I'd like to mention. Well, it was my ex-husband's grandfather that was murdered. Him and he was a deputy, and the sheriff was ambushed by a man, and the man was given the death penalty, but they only prosecuted him for one murder, not both, because way back then there was no need to second, you know, try you for two times, two different cases, whenever they give you the death penalty. If they would have went on and went with it, you know, he would have been gone by now. But as time went by, the state of Louisiana overturned the death penalty, which made it go into life. But they said life without parole. Okay, then the next thing you know, I'm in courts, in the courts and in front of the parole board trying to fight them for releasing the man because they wanted to let him out for good behavior, which the first time we won the case, second time we lost, and they let the man free. And there was nothing we could do about it. I mean, absolutely nothing. The man is sitting, well, he might be dead by now, but I don't know. It's been about 10 years, I guess, somewhere. It was just around the same time as the Oklahoma bombing when he was released. But still, it just didn't make any sense to me. If they give him the death penalty, they should have went on and done it. I do have mixed feelings about the death penalty, but in case there's some cases, like you say, it depends on what the case may be. I still hold very hard feelings against my beloved Louisiana for letting that man walk free. So I don't care how
that's old why they
was.
That's why they pile on now. That's why you hear a guy got triple lives and plus 100 years and everything else because of that. That's where the states have kicked that in to try to make sure that something like this, which is an injustice, by the way, doesn't happen on a regular basis. That's why they'll try him. And a lot of people said, well, hell, you gave him life, or you gave him the death sentence. You gave him three death sentences and 150 years. What the hell y'all doing down there? That's exactly why they do that.
Yeah. Well, I know he walked free, and they said that he wanted to be out so he could go to California and spend time with his grandchildren. And I told that parole board, I said, what about my children that are deprived
exactly.
of their great-grandfather?
Forever,
I mean, I just blew up with it. And, I mean, everybody
yeah, and
knows
I would have pulled
me.
The wall
I do
paint.
Have a fit. I would have
pulled the paint off the walls. I would have pulled the paint off the walls in there. They'd have been having me come out.
I pulled the TV stations and everything in with that, but it just didn't work.
Okay. You've opened the door, honey.
I have. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tell us about the TV.
Huh?
Tell us about the TV.
Oh, when the man was released?
Yeah.
Oh, he appeared the day he got out, the day after he got out of prison, I think it was, on the Today Show, the morning Today Show, NBC in New York City. They flew him there, and Katie Couric greeted him and asked him, how did it feel to be an American hero for beating the system? Katie Couric asked him, how did it feel to be an American hero? She called him an American hero because, and this is on national TV too.
No, what's
it's
his name?
Not just hearsay. I don't remember his name. It's been so many years. I don't remember his name. But it was on national TV, and she called him an American hero for beating the system.
I got a question for you, Jan. After the snow melted, Simon shared a private story with me years ago. After the snow melted, did you see the TV?
Okay, I'm wrong on that one.
It's a private joke.
Uh-oh, has he been talking about me?
No, it wasn't about you at all.
Actually, Jan, there's one little piece of this puzzle that I think you should also share. Didn't NBC or ABC or one of them camp out your house?
Oh, yes. Which one was it? Nightline. Ted Copeland's Nightline show. Came to my home and done an interview with me and my ex-mother-in-law and her sister and her niece. And they spent several hours at my home talking to us and filming us and told us that this was a great story that the public needs to know. And I mean, they just went on and on and on and on and on.
When the show was aired,
if we got 2 minutes airtime, we did good. His family got the rest.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it was totally, completely twisted around. what they did was they pieced together what we said and completely put them on completely. So if that's what you're talking about.
Dave, doesn't this sound remarkably similar to the Casey Anthony deal? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr.
Yeah.
Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, I just think the whole thing with, let's say like the death penalty or, you know, some states have it, some states don't. Some people, depending on the level of the crime, you can get a death penalty or not. There's just, to me, there are so many influences that it's kind of like odd to me that there is a death penalty when you've got somebody who sits there. Let's say you got some guy who sits there and says, look, I killed her, okay? Sentence me to death. Now, depending on where it is, you're going to have some, let's say, a liberal judge who will sit there and say, well, this is like a catch-22. The guy's got to be crazy to have to admit it and put him to death. Therefore, if he's crazy, he can't be put to death. You know, so it all hinges on the way society, and that includes like the judges, how they deem that person. You know,
well, I think it's more than that, Dave. First of all, you have to look at the test for insanity. And most insane people don't pass, don't fail the insanity test. So murderers rarely ever do, unless they're just so wacko you can't believe it. It's basically the question is whether or not they understand the substantial nature of the act they committed, not the other related items we'd normally include in. But I want to respond to something Jan said and add something. This is a quote from a Gallup poll released 2 days ago. Americans remain largely distrusting of the news media, with 55% saying they have little or no trust in the media to report the news fully, accurately, and fairly, and 60% perceiving bias one way or the other. So the fact is that the news kind of marches along to its own beat, partly because they get so much money from the drug companies and other people who run ads, that they don't really care what they say or do as long as they appease their sponsors. And they appease their sponsors by being politically neutral, since most of their sponsors are heavy contributors to political causes, and basically riding this razor edge, which puts money ahead of every other decision. And so when you talk about that experience, I think most of the viewers who watched that particular show were probably disgusted. They thought they were being really cute on this show, but I don't think the rest of America agrees with what they're saying or doing. You may be very, very surprised.
I think, Manny, there's one more flip side to that as well, not just the promoters and the TV commercial people and all that stuff. Take Jan's story, for example. If they would have jumped up and down and supported Jan and her family for letting this guy out, that's what people are thinking anyway. But they take a little spin to it and say, man, you're a national hero. Then everybody gets pissed off and starts clamoring to the TV to say, you can't believe this, look at here. And there you got the hook. And it had been the other way, they would have said, hey, he got what he got, and they turn it off and they go on watching Family Feud or whatever. But when they went the opposite direction with it, and so much media does that, they'll know that a guy is innocent or know that a guy is guilty, and they'll flip the script just to draw the ratings higher.
Well, that's not my experience with all my friends in the media. They're more concerned with getting things past, the network basically censors to a great extent. And funny, I read a comment from George Clooney, whose father was a newsman for many years, saying that some of the political work he does is caused by the fact that he listened to his father come home every day and bitch and complain about what the studios wouldn't allow him to show on his news show. So I don't think that the average news person comes from that particular slant. But anyway,
okay,
That's just an example.
Okay, I want to interject a question, an idea, and I want everyone's comments. does the time fit the crime? Let's talk about methods. Clinical, painless trip to oblivion. That's what we advocate today.
Is that the 60s?
several years ago, I watched the CD, and I will say very squalid video of Saddam Hussein being hung and his head snapped off. I mean, is this any sort of way that, you know, we in a modern world should proceed? Denny.
Yes. Let me just give you an example of that's current, and there have been many cases like this in the past. The trial in Connecticut now, the second defendant in that just gruesome murder up there with a home invasion and these two animals raped and murdered the wife and two young daughters and set them on fire. I mean, this wasn't a heat of the moment type thing or a robbery gone bad. This was, and the first guy, the first defendant, has been sentenced to death. Of course, I don't know how long he'll linger on death row, but and this other guy is on trial currently. Now, a crime or crimes like those, I can't really convey my emotions when I've heard the tapes and the testimony of what these two individuals did to those people. It just makes my blood boil. So is there a place for the death penalty? I think so, but again, as I go back to my first comment earlier, is it's all a matter of timing to me. If they're going to let these jerks hang there for 20 or 30 years, then it loses its impact, and why would we want to tolerate having these guys drawing breaths and taking tax dollar money to keep them the power turned on and the food on the table and so forth? I don't know. I think when the crimes are of that magnitude, then I'm all for these people paying the price. And I don't really care whether it's by lethal injection, and if they experience a little twinge of pain when the needle's put in, too bad. I don't care if it's by hanging. I don't care if it's by firing squad. I wouldn't mind seeing the old electric chair in cases like this where you see a little steam coming out of their heads. But the thing for me is when you've got a case like this that there's no reason to keep these animals alive, do it, but do it quickly. And get rid of them. And I would be all in favor of these guys, of the death penalty in cases like these. But again, if you're going to have the death penalty, carry out the sentence.
Dave, what's your thoughts? I mean, are you for the humane method of lethal injection or something more brutal?
No, I'm really kind of against the death penalty, but the thing is, I look at it. It's not for morally that I think it's wrong. I just think that you got this. If everybody could agree, you're never going to get everyone agree on a set type of punishment. You know, I mean, you've got nuts out there that run for politics and win, and they pass bills that make the death penalty legal or not in a state, for example. Well, I mean, I look at the people, some of those people that attacked me and other people on the internet that cried that sentenced me and other people to death. I mean, that's what they did. Imagine if those people were actually, politicians or judges. So I think that there's you've got a lot of crazies out there in the world. Now, when it comes down to these people, Denny said, the ones in Connecticut, I think where the law should be straightened out a little bit is more in technicalities.
those guys could get off, you know, on technicalities, a mistake that was made in the courtroom. You know, why do they make it so easy for trials to be overthrown? That's the thing that bothers me more than anything else. You know, and I think that, like everybody said, a lot of people complain. It's always for, it's never for the victim. It's for the person who's charged with the crime. They get all the breaks. That's a problem I have, too. So, other than that, I'm pretty much against the death penalty because you can't get one clear answer from anyone on whether you should have it or not. There are different stages. In one state, this might be what you have to do for the death penalty. In that state, in the other state, it might be that, something totally different that would be sentenced to death for. You know, there's a, like something against the state. You do something treason, you know. There are different levels. So I don't know. Is there any kind of a real answer to the death penalty?
Well, I don't know. Let me add to Dave's list. We don't even execute people for treason anymore in this country. Can imagine Benedict Arnold being sentenced to a jail and then getting clemency. And to throw in the inconsistency argument, which is something I joined Dave in, because that's my objection. Personally, I'm for a stronger death penalty than we presently enforce. I personally think that if you've been convicted of that kind of crime, they should execute you in a public place in the most brutal form, because guess what? It discourages people from committing crimes. But if you're going to do it humanely with no teeth in it, there's no deterrent whatsoever. So at some point, one has to look at the effectiveness of the death penalty, and right now it is totally and completely ineffective. So I don't support an ineffective death penalty. But let's talk about inconsistency. And I think your Louisiana story really hits the core of it, Jan. Clemency boards change. People change. You get a liberal governor, he starts appointing liberal people to the clemency board whose views may be more in tune with his, and in the end they don't support the death penalty. The next governor can come along, he can be a rabid dog and completely support prosecution. So from his standpoint, everybody that's in prison should be executed, and he puts tougher people on the clemency board. So now there's nobody getting clemency. So this sort of flip-flop from one philosophy to another after a while just dilutes the effects of the death penalty so much. It is just aggravating to me. So I sit here as a lawyer viewing it from that standpoint, and frankly, it sickens me. We have so much inconsistency in the laws in our country that we need to sit down and work on making death penalty decisions more consistent. You can't let one You can't let one state butcher anybody they want because they just believe in butchering people, and another state be totally humane and not want to enforce the death penalty. It doesn't work that way. But that's what happens.
You wouldn't possibly be talking about Texas.
Well, I don't. You know, Texas is definitely the number one example of that, and yes, George Bush and Rick Perry are examples of that, and at times I don't disagree with that. What I disagree with is the arbitrary manner in which these decisions are made from state to state, which makes Texas look the worst. But if other states applied it consistently, maybe Texas wouldn't look so obvious in this particular selection. And I'm not saying that what they're doing isn't good or right, and for Texans, they get their justice, right away. But Texas also does have a reputation for convicting people who probably shouldn't be convicted for a variety of reasons, including racial reasons. And anyone who thinks that race is still not an issue or no longer an issue in our country, look no further than the hockey game where someone threw a banana on the ice when a black player showed up to during a penalty kick. Racism is still rampant. People are still executed and treated differently because of racism. And until we solve that, the death penalty is going to be criticized even more.
Oh, okay. I'm an open question, and I want to go around the table on this one.
Yeah, you didn't get to the damn. You didn't even ask me about what I thought about this shit.
Oh,
nobody cares.
Chief Rebel Rouser. Okay, Cobra.
We heard a bunch of goobly-gobbly stuff about it. I think the question was more direct. Should we have it kind of like humane killing for these guys or not? Our country has come a long ways. A long, long, long time ago, if you stole a horse, you was hanged and by the neck until dead. Then you go to Salem, Massachusetts, if you was a witch, they set your ass on fire on a stick, okay? Now, during the same time that Hussein was hung over there, which that was kind of brutal, but it wasn't as brutal as the poor electrician, I think, came from Georgia or someplace trying to feed his family, went over there, and the damn Taliban cut his head off and filmed it, and that was gut-wrenching. If you saw that video, that was horrendous. So I think, here's the deal. I don't think that you take some guys that went up there, tortured, raped, and beat, sent that woman to the bank, set her house on fire, did all that crazy shit, that you can just strap them down to a table and send them into Never Never Land. No, I think if we don't have the guts as a society to do it, we need to get them damn Taliban fellers and either whack the heads off or do a reenactment. And let's see, did you do it like this and have some big bubba rape the shit out of them, set their house on fire, and let them run around in there until they did? I think it should be equal punishment for equal crime. I don't think you can strap somebody down to a table and send them off in the wild blue yonder. I think you can cut them up, let them loose for a while, catch them again, fuck them up a little bit more. Excuse me, but that's what I believe. I think it should be horrendous.
You know, Simon,
just like their crime.
A couple of days ago, I watched the Bill Maher show where he interviewed an author, and a New York Times author who's very famous for spending a huge amount of time in Afghanistan and all the rest. And he tells a story about his first week there, and the first week there he's dragged to an event by a bunch of locals, and some guy was executed. His head was cut off in public, you know, in front of everybody. He says, well, what's this all about? And the guy from Afghanistan turns to him and says, well, you have your television and we have our executions. And
exactly.
that sort of describes the Middle East sometimes. And and as sad as that is, that's the way they do it there. But they also have less murder and other crimes because of the way they enforce it. So there is some evidence in history that it's a deterrent. But if we continue making nice, and England, by the way, eliminated the death penalty, and I'm not so sure everybody's happy with it. It's one thing to eliminate it in a closed culture with a low amount of population, but as the immigrants increase, as evidenced even by the 20s when the murder rate went up with all the Italian immigrants and other people in the United States, it is a problem of poverty, immigration. For example, we've had a rash of burglaries in my neighborhood, which is unheard of, and one of the reasons, as I said to someone, is we've got a recession depression, and guess what? Crime is now an alternative business because people can't make a living any other way. And if that's going to be the case, and we're going to be experiencing that in our country, then we have to take stronger, more drastic measures, and it's really that simple.
Okay, the question I have for the panel is a really simple one. Should America adopt federal rules over the death penalty? Should it be left to the individual states, or should it be under the control of the government? It's out.
You're lucky Michelle Bachmann isn't on this show.
The thing with me is, you know, like what Penny says, depending on the governor or whatever, now you're just raising the bar literally raising the bar. You're going to go from a liberal president to a conservative president to a liberal president to a conservative president, depending on how many people retire from the Supreme Court. That's going to be the basis for what kind of a court is going to rule on the death penalty, because even if there are federal laws in place, that it's allowable or it's not allowable. And you know, it was illegal from what, 1972 to 1976. And so the U.S. Supreme Court abolished the death penalty,
And then another Supreme Court came along and made it legal again. So anywhere you go, state level, federal level, perhaps even international level one day, I guess it all hinges on who's sitting on the bench at that particular time.
Well, let me clarify something for you. The death penalty was reversed in part because many felt that it was so, that most of them were so poorly written that it was somewhat of a catch-all and didn't conform to the Constitution. A feeling that I had while I was in law school when I studied it, and I agreed, well, I was part of a move not to, to stop the death penalty, but to reform it. And ultimately they did reform it, and when it was reformed and passed, then all of a sudden it began to be put in force and effect. So it wasn't some casual throwing out of the death penalty. There were legitimate concerns that, particularly in those times with minorities, they were, it was being imposed unfairly. And the fact was, it was being imposed unfairly. But that problem's gone, and it's no longer an issue. But people still point back to it as if there was some liberal movement, which it really
wasn't.
Well,
no. In any event, I cited that as an example. That's not to say that somewhere down the road, another court won't decide that today's laws are archaic. So, you know, I mean, who sits there then and decides whether these are legitimate and right laws? Anyway, I mean, who decides?
Yeah.
If anything goes up, it goes up to the Supreme Court level, and they decide. So they can look down and say that Texas or another state, you know, Florida, for example, has a death penalty, and say that that's not correct. That's not the way to do it. And it might be okay now, but 20 years hence, you might have a different mindset on the court. And they're going to look at today's laws and say they're archaic. So, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to end where there's never this cat and mouse game of legalizing and illegalizing, whatever. You know, the death penalty is going to be there one day and gone the next for a lot of different reasons, not just the era, you know, of the early to mid-70s. You know, it could be different, like I said, 25 years from now.
I agree.
I think that there should be something consistent in a sense that it makes sense that to everyone, everybody agrees, but I don't think you're ever going to find that agreement. You'll never get an entire country, let alone the world, to agree on anything of this nature. And you're going to have people that say an eye for an eye, like they do in the Middle East. But then you're going to have these turn-the-other-cheek people on the other hand, you know, not necessarily in the United States, but, I mean, in different parts. And I'm not even trying to utilize the Bible in that sense. You have a lot of readings, teachings that are based on philosophy, not religion, that can, you know, like the Muslim, the Buddhists and Hindu religion, you know, that have their thoughts on a death penalty. So I don't know what's right and what is it right for us to do it or isn't it? I don't know. There's no answer.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it's an issue of right or wrong, Dave. And I agree with everything you said. The bigger issue is, does this in some manner benefit society by reducing crime and deterring people from murdering other people? And it can be argued that this group that Denny so accurately described in Connecticut, it wouldn't matter what was done. This was true of the famous Cutter family and in Cold Blood, who was studied forever, were considered the first major this type of cold blood killers. And if you read the book in Cold Blood, there's an incredible analysis of their behavior. And in the end, some people are just destined to do this, and no deterrent that changes them. So when you look at those, the question is, well, what do you do with those? And I don't really have an answer for any of this. All I know is the questions make this a very difficult subject for everybody.
Okay. I do need to interject. We have a caller on the line, and I'm going to reach out to them. Caller from the 111 area code, what's your name and what's your question for us?
Hello?
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 Hello, you're on the line.
Yes, I was just wondering, Cobra is all for the death penalty. What education And what experience does he have with the death penalty?
Well, I'm experienced enough, Tina Church, to know this, that you don't mislead death row inmates. You either support them or you don't support them, honey.
Okay. What does that mean, Cobra? What does that mean?
Well, yeah. Tina Church, that's Tina Church on the an advocate of death row folks, which probably a good thing. But I think the victims need an advocate, too, somebody that will stand up and speak right back to her. And we had our little go-around the other night on the phone, so I don't think anything makes me more of an expert than it does you.
Okay, unfortunately, we managed to lose Miss Church.
She's a hit
and
run artist.
She lost us, Simon.
No, she's a hit and run artist. I'd like to go back to what Dave was saying about the thing. Dave's absolutely right. It all depends on who's in charge at the time as to whether we carry out the death penalty. I'm not the one who passed the judgment on the individual, but on this particular family that was destroyed up there with the house set on fire and raped and everything, how could anyone? I don't think I could, and I believe in the word. And I believe in, you know, right and wrong, that kind of thing. I don't know how I could be an advocate for someone who has done something like that. And I say that if we're not strong enough as a society to step up and what do? You lock them away and support them, or you bring the death penalty on? And I agree with what Denny said. It needs to be done efficiently, effectively, before you get these activists like Tina Church and folks out there crying the blues and forgetting what they did to the families that brought them to the case. Now, we're not talking about the little child who was feeling the lady's breast and somebody's going to kill her. Hell, I'd be an activist. So would Manny. But, I mean, if the death penalty is warranted, then we need to carry it out. And if we cannot carry it out, then we need to get somebody that can carry it out. And we can't go around panty-wasted and say, well, an eye for an hour or two, oh, turn the other cheek. You turn them out, they're going to do it again. So you need to stop that sickness. And that's why I think we need a new campaign to stop the sickness.
Okay. I'm going to run out to the switchboard again. We have someone coming in from the 574 area code. What's your name, or and what's your question or comment for us?
Well, my name is Tina Church, and Cobra wants to run his mouth about.
Oh dear, we just lost Tina.
We got dialed.
Oh darn!
I'm sorry.
I was saying to hear what you're running your mouth about.
I don't know, brother, but I apologize for that.
So you should.
All
right. I'm going to go back to much more important subject, the death penalty. Should it be federally regulated? Should there be a constant way to do it throughout the country? Or should it be left up to the states? Denny, you haven't said anything for a while. Would you like to pipe in on this one?
Well, you know, I'm... and perhaps through the Supreme Court, we do, in fact, have some type of federal guidance or guidelines on what's allowable and what isn't. But I'm a believer in states' rights. I'm always hesitant to see anything that the state has end up being turned over to the feds. So based primarily on that, I would say the state should have control, because these are state crimes that people are being sentenced for. They're you know, murders that occurred in the state. There's a violation of state law, and they're prosecuted by state prosecutors and so forth. I remember that when I was talking with my associate Bill Sullivan one time, we were talking about having the federal control for medical examiners, because each medical examiner's office or coroner's system in different states had different things. And we were talking about trying to get cases, you know, death certificates changed and so forth. And Bill told me that when they tried to do that years ago, he was on a panel that went that route. And it was an absolute nightmare. And they ended up with federal guidelines. They could not, it was just almost impossible to get a federal law. So they ended up with some kind of a federal guidelines for the operation of a medical examiner or coroner's office. And so they are still state functions with the feds having issued a guideline about how certain aspects of the operation should be run. So I don't know. I'm a little reluctant to see anything that's a state issue end up being taken over by the feds.
Okay, Manny, I have to ask you, because you're the legal eagle, should it be under state control or federal control?
I don't think it makes any difference. I think that they're both subject to the same human frailties, and you have the same problems no matter which. You might have a little less politics if it's just state, because God only knows, the minute you make something a federal issue in this country with the way that the Congress is split and the way the voting is going in Congress, I can't even imagine how this issue could be dealt with. So you would have, you know, you basically 100 senators and the 400-some members of Congress trying to make this decision, and that horrifies me because I've seen how poorly they've made every other decision in the last few years. So what we'd have is just one more quagmire in America, and that's what bothers me about federal intervention. I don't even get to the states' rights issue on this, and although the states have a right to control a great many things, if they don't control it effectively, then it starts bringing in federal action. Whether or not that's appropriate enough, we could probably argue for the next 4 or 5 years. But I'm not for any system that creates more politics, and I believe that a federal intervention would create more politics.
Okay, but it all boils down to one basic issue. Who has the rights to take another person's life? And it has to sit somewhere. Cobra, you usually have lots to say.
I say this. I mean, we govern ourselves as a society, and, you know, if you go back into the thing and who has the right to take another person's life, I believe that you do. I think what would change the ball game here is if any of the pro-advocates for anti-death penalty had something like this happen in there. You know, you have to look at this as if it happened to me. I mean, we're not arguing a case that maybe they're innocent, maybe they're not innocent. All right, we know for a fact that these two fellers tortured these folks and burnt the house down, and we'll talk about that case. And Denny, that was a good analogy you put on there. But you have a situation like that. I believe that every God-fearing American, anybody that put themselves in that position, has absolute right to stop that sickness. And I don't want to house that person and keep them around so they can, you know, have fantasies abounded forever. I think we should torture their ass the same way and take them out of here. And, of course, that probably is only 50% popular and 50%, you know, oh, wow, he wants to kill them. Listen, if this was your child, if this was your wife, if this was you, that guy going in the courtroom, of course, he's getting drugged back in again for the second go-around, and I'm looking at him going, dude, I just wish I'd have been the first responder and caught them little rascals. We wouldn't have to be talking about this right now. Or have Benny up there riding around the trunk of the car for a while. I mean, somebody has got to step up and stop being panty-wasted about it and get this country straightened back out. I mean, it's like when you're a child. You get an ass-whooping for something, and you're like, whoa, I don't want that no more. Back in long time ago, folks used the rod and did not spoil the child. Now they talk to them, give them time out. Well, sending them to jail forever is kind of like time out. After a while, they get accustomed to it and used to it, and they sit there and fantasize about it, and one day they might get out and try it all over again. But I think if people are afraid enough that if you touch that hot plate over, it's going to burn you, I think if that's instilled in folks' mind, listen, the only thing that keeps me right now from doing some horrific things or anybody else, you, Simon, anyone else, is the fear of getting caught and the fear of getting penalized for it. Because sure as hell that I did some crazy shit like that, there'd be a line of them out there throwing rocks at me, okay? So I think we have to get it back on the track to where we're actually afraid to do something like that, you know, to... God forbid, not do that. Man, they'll kill you for that shit. It has to be that brought back into it. But if there's no penalty for the crime, then the crime will run rampant. I don't know. I may be from a different school, but I think the Taliban's got a good idea about it.
No, the question is whether you're from a different planet. I always enjoy the fact that you offer these plain and simple views of so many Americans. And I mean this sincerely. There are a great many Americans who absolutely agree with you, and at times so do I, but not as radically or as far as you go. And I think that's something that everybody has to consider. There is a strong part of the American public that would like a much stronger resolution to these type of problems in our society. And they're not getting resolved, are they?
Manny, if it was I've had tragedies in my family. I've dealt with tragedies just in my line of work. And I've, after you arrest plus 8,000 people, you get a pretty good flavor for what's going on out there. And, when you're subject to that and that's your world and you live in that and you see all these misjustice things like that, Manny, it does taint you, and maybe part of that is makes me radical. No, I'm not radical for sending somebody.
No, I didn't say you're radical. Cobra, I not only don't think you're radical, I think that to some your views may sound extreme, but I'm saying I find the general public generally agrees with what you're saying. Maybe not as vociferously, and maybe they would word it in kinder terms, but they all want a stronger application of this law. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm pointing out that as strong as your statement is, it's not inconsistent with what other people in this country feel. And my experiences make me support a death penalty along the lines of what Denny and I are discussing, one that's quick, thorough, accomplishes the goal, and actually is a deterrent. The problem is it's not currently a deterrent, and that's really where this goes to. And I'm against the death penalty in its present form, but I am for a more effective death penalty, and if I could influence people to have a more effective death penalty, I would spend my time doing it. But this is so personal to everybody that you cannot. That's the problem.
You can't make the right round box. I understand that, and I've never been non-accused of sugarcoating anything. I mean, I will not sugarcoat it for you, and I cannot come up with the perfect round circle to fit this in, but the fact remains is I am vehemently opposed to allowing someone to sit on death row, letting the family continue to be in fear forever, and no resolution, no end in sight. I agree with Denny. Damn it. Finish this and finish it quick. If they really, really did do it, like the case we were talking about earlier, then let it be done quickly and over with, and let's move on to something else. I mean, you want to sit around and kill somebody every day? No, that's not what it's about. I mean, people take the strangest views to different things, but if it ever falls on your doorstep, then call me and let me know how you want to handle it. Shit.
Oh, okay. Here's the big issue, if you will. How do you know for sure, that someone did it? And if you know for sure, then why does it take 20 years to execute them, or 22 years? Take the Chinese view. Yeah, you whop them out back, and a couple of slugs in the back of the head, it's all done, and it's over in under a week. It's got to be way cheaper than the system we're using. So why don't we do that?
Because we're penny wasted. We got too many freaking lawyers a-crying. We got We got these people whining about shit left and right, trying to get their name out there because they're an activist for something or another. And the Chinese has got it down. Like you said, if they for sure did it, I think don't even get them out back. Shoot them right there in the damn courtroom. Hell, let's get it on. Listen, Denny be a better one to answer that because just like the mobsters handle their business. Now, I'm not saying they're right, but they don't put up with no bullshit. They don't put you on death penalty for 22 years. They put you on that shit for 22 minutes, and it's over.
Yeah, but you're also talking about a country that that I'll bet you they abort more babies in that country in 1 year than we have the entire population of the United States.
They have a lot of them, too. I can't make the jump that you make between a mother coming up with an idea to abort a child, and there's women right now, I know for a fact, listening, that not long ago had an abortion. And the thing of it is I'm for abortion since you brought that up again, and I just want to clarify something. It's not a form of birth control. If it's going to cause hardship to the mother, if there's some type of something going on, but it's not to be used as birth control. Now, the Chinese got a birth problem over there, so I don't think that they're right doing that, but we talking about death penalty today. We let God sort out about killing little babies, you know.
Well, is there really a difference?
The baby hurt anybody? Listen, the child is unborn and did not hurt nobody, didn't break in a house and rape some people, set the house on fire and all that kind of crazy stuff, Simon. So based on just that alone, of course, a string case, the child is innocent. So I don't see how you take a death penalty case where somebody needs to be put to death for a ultra crazy crime, and then you got the mother seeking out birth control because maybe she has no one that loves her, maybe she got pregnant accidentally, the birth control thing. There's many, many factors in that. If you want to have a program on that, we'll gear up for one of those. But I don't think the two intertwine with each other. The end result is somebody died, but that would be like talking about a car accident versus somebody broke in your house and for an aspect, trying to.
Okay.
The baby didn't
well.
Do anything.
All right.
Simon,
I think as usual we.
I think he overheats his battery.
Right.
Went to
on. Railed.
I'm just reaching for another one.
There you go.
Okay. The bottom line here, though, is, you know, how do we feel about the death penalty? I personally am very much against it. I know that, that many people deserve to lose their lives, but is it better for us to spare 100 guilty people so we can spare one innocent man?
Absolutely.
Or should we just top the lot?
No. It's 10-1, and that's in the Supreme Court, and it is better to allow 9 guilty folks to go free than it is to kill one innocent man. I subscribe to that. But in those cases, then the death penalty does not apply. We have to just lock their ass away until they come up with more evidence to break them free. But in a case where the prime case that we were speaking of and giving a correlation to it was like what Denny was saying, that case that's going on right now. In a case like that, I don't see anybody innocent there except Daddy, and the rest of them need to fall. But if there is a case where there's some type of doubt that this person may not have done it, yes, it is better to let his ass go free than to do it. And in that, I support 100%.
Well, that's easy to say, but who knows which person that person is?
Well, yeah. We know it ain't them two fellas that we're talking about. We know it ain't them.
No, let's move on. Well, how about Troy Davis? Are you absolutely certain he's guilty? And what is it that happened that made you feel he was absolutely guilty?
I don't know anything.
You didn't witness it. Nobody witnessed the murder.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, actually, there were witnesses there, but
well,
most of them were homeless,
about
drunk, etc., and didn't get a clear picture.
Well, Yeah, but I mean, you look at the Casey Anthony trial, for example. She faced the death penalty. There were no witnesses. And so where do you draw the line? That's what I mean. There is no consistency whatsoever.
Dave, I did not, even though I was involved in that case heavily, I did not support the girl.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you did, Cobra.
No.
I just think that there are too many people that have control over who lives and who dies. That's the thing.
I think we got too broad of a brush when we paint death penalty. I think death penalty is more for the cases that we know for sure. My philosophy is this: when in doubt, throw it out.
The problem is that decision is generally made by ambitious prosecutors. So start with one foot in the bucket.
They need to get They need to get a taste of it. I mean, on the ones that we know, don't broad stroke everybody. That's why we have life without and jail and everything else. We don't have a whole bunch of killing rooms, but we do have a whole bunch of jails. So I think as a society, we do somewhat know the difference between it. So, I mean, if we were talking like we're talking on this radio show, it would be evident that instead of going down the road and seeing a whole bunch of jails, you'd see a house said, this is where you beat your maker, and it'd be a whole bunch of them. So there's not. And I think that if there is any doubt and there is not 100% proof that the person did it or everything points to it, where you have not only the, like Denny and we were talking last week, where you don't just have, you know, superficial evidence, but you hard, cold fact, he did it. And then it kicks in. But until then, until the burden of proof is met all the way out, and that's part of the prosecutor's job over here. And just wanting to run off, like Casey, is she deplorable? Yes. Did she kill that child? Yes. Does she deserve the death penalty? Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. I want to throw something completely new into the mix. Manny, you're old like I am. I'm sure that you are well acquainted with the Rosenberg case.
Oh, sure.
Right. Did the Rosenbergs deserve to lose their lives?
You know, it's funny. I didn't feel that way at the time, but I do now. And I'm disturbed that we don't actually execute people who commit treason in our country, and that really disturbs me a lot.
Listen, treason, you know, you're a lawyer, so you know all about treason. There is nothing wrong with someone who lives here, we have them every day, that has a different view or a different on-take of something that our society stands for or doesn't stand for and decided to go and tell the other side or do something. If there was, I don't think the death penalty, it's on the books, but it should not be for treason. If you decide one day that you don't agree with the United States government about something and you have a different focus, damn it, you in treason, and we should kill you. I don't think so. That's what our country is founded upon.
That's not treason. Treason is selling secrets of your country to another country. And
I guess you want to go and get Bill Clinton, because it was alleged that he gave our secrets to the Chinese. And see, I disagree with that. My God, he was the president of the United States, for God's sake. We do it all the time. The CIA and everybody else trade secrets like there's nobody's business. Come on now.
We're down to the wire here. I want to go once around the table to get everyone's final thoughts. I'm going to start with Denny, because no one lets Denny speak.
Hey. My final thought is, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I guess I will, is that I'm in favor of the death penalty when it's appropriate, when it fits the crime, but I'm not in favor of it under the present conditions. It needs to be revamped, streamlined, effective, carried out to have the deterrent effect, and also to get rid of the case, get rid of the defendants or the convicts, and get moved on. So it needs a lot of work. But as far as death penalty, without the time frames. I think there are a lot of crimes in which the defendants, and with the days now that we have the advances in forensics, when there is a not beyond a reasonable doubt, when there is virtually no doubt as to the guilt, I think that could be incorporated in streamlining the process.
Thank you. And we're just about to lose our live listeners, but fear not, live listeners, it's all being recorded.
So we're going to hear nothing but the drop dead people now?
Okay. I'm going to go to our head troublemaker in Orlando. Dave, parting thoughts for the panel.
Well, I mean, I think that this death penalty it's a very interesting discussion. I mean, I think it's great that we're talking about it. And I think it would be great to continue it for a while because you can get all kinds of different opinions. But I seriously doubt you'll ever get a consensus where everyone agrees, that's for sure. So I'm against the death penalty, but mainly it's because life is life. And I don't know, because there are so many different variables involved in judging people that you can't ever come up with one that is a valid reason to kill. And that one isn't, and that one is, and that one isn't. It's selective killing is what it's called. So I don't know. I mean, that's the only reason why. I'm not dead set against the death penalty. I just don't think that we could ever come up with a solution. Why we do it here and don't do it there. That's all.
Okay, Manny, you're up. Who's going to be following you.
Okay. My feelings haven't changed. Right now it's not a deterrent to crime, so I don't favor it. I think it's worse for someone, particularly those younger people in Connecticut, to put in a 4x6 jail, never speak to anyone the rest of their life, and have to eat shit on a shingle every day, 3 meals a day like they do in Arizona. And that's my choice. But I'd like to say something more personal. I really want to thank our listeners, the panel, Simon and Jan, and everyone for making me so welcome in the show for the past 6 months. As I discussed with Simon earlier, this is my last Sunday show. Just our new book has just been published. The practice of law is really consuming me. And I simply don't have the time to do 3 shows a week. As you know, I do a show on Saturdays, Surviving the 21st Century, and one on Thursday, the Food Revolution Papers. And I love you guys. I wish I had the time, but it's just been too difficult. I want to thank you all, and God bless the panel and everyone else who listens.
Really? Will you be back as a guest?
I'm sure Simon will be able to twist my arm from time to time, depending on my schedule. But you know, Simon's a good arm twister, except with Jan. Now, if I could just get him to work that technique on her, life would be great. Right, Simon?
Absolutely.
But I just don't have the time, guys, and I'm going to miss you all. You're terrific, and I think these conversations help Americans think about what their choices are and hopefully lead to some change, because the information you're providing are not just not information they're going to get through the general sources in our society. So go ahead,
Simon. Well, thank you, Manny. We're going to miss you,
Yeah,
too.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you were definitely – this is great, yeah.
Congrats and good luck, Manny.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Yes, Manny.
And who did I miss? I always miss someone.
You know who you
are. William Cobra-Stobbs.
There you go.
The
Manny, I love sparring against you. Hopefully you'll come back as a guest. Next time I'll be left wing instead of right wing. And going back to your treason thing, it still goes, the pure definition of it means that you don't agree with our government and you decide to sell secrets or lie or whatever you do. But listen, I have had a blast challenging you, and you have taught me a few things, and I've learned a lot, and you know, starting of the show, which people don't know, I'm always the one, Cobra, you going to raise hell today? Yes, I am. So I've enjoyed it. I don't think we've ever had a show, Manny, since you came on that could spark me off any harder than they do, and you're going to be a hard damn person to replace out there, and I've enjoyed you. For a lawyer, you ain't such a bad guy. And I laid off the damn Kool-Aid a little bit, so I'm starting to see things a little more clear now.
Well, Simon, I'm going to pass my autographed pitchfork for Cobra to someone else on the panel. And there'll be someone sticking you with it by next week.
He better be nice. Like you have treated me good, and he better be nice. Otherwise, I'll fly out where he's at. Whoop his ass, country style. I'm going to miss you, man. Good luck on your book. I hope you make millions.
Yeah. I hope I make $5.
Yeah.
Oh, you will.
You get what you ask for, my man. Simon's been fun. You get what you ask for. If you're asking for $5, you'll get it, but I hope that you get millions.
Thank you. Simon, well, I think we lost you for a moment.
He passed out. When I was telling how good I liked you, he passed the hell out.
So did I.
Hey, listen, it's all fun and games, and it's like you said, it's for informational purposes and try to, you know, spark the, if we all got on here and you said, well, I disagree, and I say, you know what, I agree that you disagree, and we all said the same thing, it wouldn't do any good. If Dave says he's against the death penalty, I say, all right, lightweight, straighten up, I want to kill him. Well, and then somebody else got to say something else. I think you got to get a good flavor of everything that's out there, because that's who we are as a society. We are flavor. That's for damn sure. Big old pot of jam stew going off.
Okay, I need to wrap this up, and I want Jan's final thoughts for today.
Oh, well, I do believe in certain circumstances in the death penalty. I'm sorry, honey, I don't want to go against you, but I do believe that in certain cases the death penalty is necessary. And I also think that if they would go with this and do it more, I mean, faster, if they, like, if someone does have the death penalty, I think people would look at things different. Because I've heard too many times on the street saying, well, what's they going to do to me? Throw me in jail and put me behind, lock the key? I'll be all right. I'll get 3 meals a day and I'll be fine. I mean, some people, that's the attitude they have about committing a crime. And if they think that these penalties are going to be harsher, I think that it might give, even if it makes one or two people think twice about doing the crime, that it might make a difference. So,
I agree.
But I do believe that in certain circumstances, yes, it is appropriate.
Necessary. And necessary.
Right.
Okay. I'm definitely against the death penalty, but
it's America,
just my personal thoughts. Till next Sunday, this is Simon Barrett and my very lovely wife, Jen, wishing everyone a happy, safe, and healthy week. We'll be back next Sunday with a new subject. Till then, goodbye.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
You,
and
thank
you again,
Jen.
Manny. We're going to miss
you
next
week. Good luck,
Manny.
Good luck,
okay,
everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Yeah. Bye.
Good luck,
bye.
Man.